Continues of Snowman in the Morning. Glad to have you all with us. And I have a very special guest here during the first hour. He is director of the National Sports Media Association, and I'm proud to also call him a good friend. Let me welcome Mr. Dave Gorin, and he joins me right now. Dave, how are you, my friend? Good to finally talk to you on the show.
Doing great, Snowman. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. With everything that's going on with COVID, to have some sports to talk about is a very good thing during this time.
Absolutely. Can never have bad sports talk.
No, you can't at all. With you being a 24-year veteran of sports and sports coverage, most notably in the Triad, a place where I called home once upon a time, what gave you the bug? What made you want to become a sportscaster?
Well, I think I was like every kid who gets interested in it when you're playing games in the backyard. And, you know, my house was kind of the neighborhood gathering spot. We had the baseball and the football in the backyard on the grass. And then we had the basketball court and street hockey rink in the driveway. And then my dad actually built an ice rink in the backyard, I think 4 winters in a row. And so we played ice hockey in the backyard for a while, and that was cool. So, I mean, just growing up and playing, and I guess I went to my first professional game. I was 7, went to a Red Sox game and a Celtics game in Boston. And then my first Bruins game was the next season, home opener, you know, seeing Bobby Orr and Gordie Howe going against one another. And the Celtics were still winning championships in the late 60s and early 70s. And, you know, that was kind of my indoctrination to sports. And, you know, I would occasionally tune in the newscast, local news, back when there were only 3 or 4 channels and everybody had a sportscaster. And it's like, you could do that for a living? That's pretty cool. And then as I got into high school, the guy who had been covering my high school for the local newspaper left and realized that they would hire high school kids to do it. And I was a 15-year-old junior in high school, and that was my first media job, was covering my high school's football and basketball and baseball games for the local newspaper. So that was pretty cool. And then decided I wanted probably to do radio or TV. I love play-by-play. Got to do that in college at Syracuse, but I think what I really wanted to do was be the local TV sports guy. And as you said, that led to a 24-year career doing that. And then when I got out, I was fortunate enough to land this job, and now I get to honor sports media for excellence. And we also at the National Sports Media Association get to help the younger generations connect in so they can get their jobs and get their feet wet and you know, connect to other professionals and help everybody do better in our industry.
Who gave you who are some of the play-by-play announcers that like put it in your head? Because as I've said on this show many times, growing up in Chicago, the first voice that got in my head of do play-by-play, the late great Jim Durham. Jim Durham and Johnny Kerr covered Bulls games. And then of course, Wayne Larrabee, who covered the Bears, now the Green Bay Packers, John Rooney, voiced the White Sox, Vince Scully, Jack Buck, and all the old schoolers that got me started. Who was the voice that got you started?
Well, like you, it was a number. I mean, obviously the local announcers in Boston, you know, Johnny Most with the Celtics and that gravelly voice. Both Don Earl on television and then Bob Wilson on radio doing the Boston Bruins, and Ken Coleman, Ned Martin doing the Boston Red Sox, later on Jim Woods. You know, they were all great. And then watching the network games of the week with, you know, Kurt Gowdy and Tony Kubek doing baseball and Dan Kelly doing the NHL, you know, number of people doing NFL and AFL back in the day. Charlie Jones, I remember very well. And so, you know, you kind of just add to your collection and you kind of like a little bit from different people and some you wouldn't like. That's kind of how you develop your own style, is you pick and choose a little bit that you like from different people and stay away from things you don't like.
Dave Gorin joining me here, the executive director of the National Media Association. You were voted the 2008 Sportscaster of the Year for North Carolina by the NSMA. And then a year later, you joined as their executive director in 2009. Can you walk me through a typical day of what it's like for the executive director?
I'd almost tell you that there is no typical day. I mean, there is. So in 24 years in TV, especially when I was anchoring, you would go in at, unless there was a morning press conference, you go around 2 p.m. and you would lay out your 6 o'clock sportscast and, write it and edit it, edit the video, and then you'd perform it. And then you'd turn around, do the same thing at 11, maybe go out in between and grab a bite to eat or, go cover part of a game, whether it's high school football or a weight game or something like that. And then I've told people many times in this job, sometimes you're doing 17 million things every day all at once. And I like to describe it as having adult developmental ADHD, because I used to be very focused on the task at hand, and now there are so many different things. And I've had an assistant at times, and I've had interns, but I'm the employee, so it's on me to do everything that we do. And that covers fundraising, it covers getting ready for board meetings and doing agendas and making sure the minutes are done and out, doing the financials and getting those on a weekly basis to our accountant in Salisbury, putting out a newsletter once a month, talking to members and getting more members, hopefully. Inordinate number of things, marketing the organization, getting our name out there so people know who we are, and then being an event planner. We do this big 3-day awards weekend every June. We started a couple years ago doing the Ann Spencer Sports Connector Award, where we honor a local person who has connected the community through sports. And who knew in the middle of my TV career that I would become an event planner? But it's kind of cool because you learn different things and you learn that skills that maybe you didn't think you had, you do, or you have different skills and new ones that you put to work. And to me, that's fun.
You said it best, and doing this for 24 years myself, you do 100,000 things at once. As long as I have been doing play-by-play, that would be a quote-unquote typical day, especially if last-minute injury in or last-minute changes to a lineup, because I started doing football back in Chicago. When the thing that throws you off, the point to one thing, it would be last-minute changes. Because when I was at Chicago State, I would get the starters in advance for both teams. And then I'd come in to set up, and this happened quite a few times in the 2000s. Come in to set up, I'm ready to go, and then all of a sudden, I get a note at the last minute saying, this guy's not starting, this guy is. And I'd have to change my notes around, and I'm going, I only got 20 minutes of this before I go on. Yeah.
And that's why
there is never, in the line of journalism, there's never a typical day.
Well, and that's why you get everything you can get done as soon as you can, so then you're ready for those changes when they come. And Lord knows that this pandemic, if it hasn't taught us anything, it's how to adapt. And we were all very comfortable for the most part in our lives and doing what we do every day, and then this pandemic comes, and now it's like, okay, how do we do this, how do we do that, how do we do school? My wife teaches kindergarten, and no matter how hard a day I have at work, can't ever complain, because I see what she goes through trying to get 4 and 5 year olds to learn through this thing. And it's so difficult, and they've changed, and no one's fault, but the administration, maybe her school principal says one thing, and then the school board says another, and then the county administration says something else, and they plan and plan and plan, and then have to change those plans more often than not. And so, I think as I've told people who complained about the pandemic, to look at it, I always try to look at things in a positive way. It should teach you how to adapt to things that you are not comfortable with, so you become comfortable with them.
So very true. Dave Gorin, Executive Director of National Sports Media Association, joining me. How do you guys actually determine nominees for the awards? And since I'm in Carolina, I made a and I'm going to bust my tail to get one of those awards. The latest on the SMAs, which were postponed last summer. Are we going to have award ceremony in 2020, or are we going to have to wait till June of 21?
Fingers crossed, June of 21. And we don't know. We don't know if we'll be able to do it in June of 21. We don't know that. And we'll probably have to make a call 3 to 4 months out from that, because people have to make their plans to travel here. So right now we're in the process of nominating our 2020 state and national award winners, who will be our, and then our 2021 Hall of Famers. Ballots are out. We're a little past the halfway mark in voting, nomination voting. I have something like 220 votes in right now with about 2 weeks left. And so each of our members votes, provides up to 3 names: state sportscaster and sports writer of the year in their state, plus national sportscaster and sports writer. And then I send an email to our current Hall of Famers and say, okay, here are the people who've been on the ballot. Who else would you like to nominate? And, you know, give me your top 10. And then I'll put the Hall of Fame 10 finalists on the final ballot. We'll take the top 10 national nominees for sportscaster and 10 for sports writer. Then they'll go on the final ballot. And then the top 2 from each state plus ties, and also ties for the national nominees. So we'll do that, send that final ballot out December 1st. Membership will have the entire month of December to vote. And then I start calling people first week of January. We'll announce the winners probably toward the end of the first week or beginning of the second week of January. And then hopefully start planning for an awards weekend in June, at which we will honor last year's winners on the Sunday night of the awards weekend, and then this year's winners on Monday night. If we were normal, we would have a much bigger crowd in Winston-Salem in 2021. But as I said, we still don't know what it's going to look like. So, again, stay flexible and adapt.
Yep, that's it. Dave Gorin joining me here, my good friend. How has COVID affected the NSMA and your work as a sideline reporter for Wake Forest for RNG Learfield Sports?
Well, as far as NSMA, it's kind of cut into our fundraising, as it has for many organizations. Let's not forget that there are a lot of people who lost their jobs. They're out of work. They're not making money. If unemployment ran out. And so it's tough to make the ask under those circumstances. We did a board campaign with our board of directors and a Hall of Fame campaign that approached all of our Hall of Famers and said, we need some help to get through this period. And they came through pretty well. But hopefully we'll be fundraising to get that awards weekend done in June and make it all work. As far as sideline reporting, the ACC has a COVID-19 advisory committee made up of medical personnel from all of the conference schools. And they decided early on that they would not have sideline reporters, radio sideline reporters who represent each school. They do have TV sideline reporters, and I think we all know why that is. Television pays a lot of money, without which a lot of these schools' athletic budgets would. I mean, they're suffering enough. Do I like it? No, but I also know that those are not easy decisions that people in the decision making seats have to make, and so I would not second guess them. And so I've been to every Wake Forest game except this last game. Actually, the Wake crew, the radio, my fellow radio crew members, were not traveling to the 2 out-of-state games, which would be last week at Syracuse, which broke a streak of, I think I counted, 146 straight Wake games that I had attended. Our play-by-play guy, Stan Cotton, his streak was at 296 and was broken in his 25 years. And then they're not going to the Louisville game later this month either. But you know what? That's all right.
Yeah. You learn to adapt, just like you said. Give me some quick thoughts on Wake Forest football this year, as they've just rattled off a perfect 4-0 record for October. How good can the Deacons be?
I think it's a team that's continuing to improve week by week, which if you're head coach Dave Clawson, you love, because that's kind of the whole idea is you get better if you can stay away from injuries, and Wake Forest being one of the smaller schools in the ACC that doesn't have a lot of walk-ons, because walk-ons, there aren't a lot of them walking around who have played some kind of football and can afford to pay in excess of $60,000 to attend Wake Forest. So, yet they are starting a freshman walk-on who's doing very well this year. Having said that, you know, they have a week off this weekend, then they kind of get into the back end of their schedule, which has typically been tough. I think their schedule as a whole, you would have to say, is pretty tough this year. But you know what? As a competitor, you like that. And you know, I've been a little surprised. Dave Clawson said the other day he's been surprised that his offensive line has worked together as well as they have, because for the second straight year, they are starting three new starters. And more than any other position, I think offensive line has to play together. And as I alluded to, Nick Anderson, the freshman walk-on safety, who had three interceptions a couple of weeks ago and 11 tackles and a couple pass deflections at Syracuse last week. I know the defensive backfield was a concern as well, and they've played awfully well. A couple of pick sixes already this year, three of them, in fact. And, you know, I think Wake is maybe leading the country in turnover margin at a plus 14. So that doesn't hurt. And, you know, I like where this team is, and I think I like where they're headed this year.
He is Dave Gorin, the executive director of the National Sports Media Association and a good friend of mine, and I finally got him on my program. It's great to talk to you, Dave. Thanks for the time.
Snowman, anytime. Look forward to seeing you in person one of these days.
Yes, you will. If we have that award ceremony, wife and I are coming. I will I will make certain of that. All right. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the time. I really appreciate it. And folks, we got another hour. Stand by. Snowman in the morning, Dragon the Flash.